we had something very, well, all kinds of encouraging things happened throughout the week. But as I drove back, left the U.S. early Monday morning, we had a meeting, which I had told you last Sunday, in Arispe. And we wanted to talk with the congregation and just give them a proposal of what we were thinking as a mission and what the Lord was putting on our hearts. And, you know, as we sat there in this meeting and began sharing with them what we were thinking and about starting a Christian rehabilitation center. And I know that that whole Sonora Rio area is just very saturated with drugs, and they know that. And it was just very cool to just see this congregation just warm up to the idea. I mean, it's not just something that a church would just want to adapt to right away, because with something like that comes a lot of responsibility. And it has to be 100% of the church working together to make something like this function, basically. And so it was interesting after a meeting, and a gentleman just got up and said, "Well, when can you start? What do we need to prepare ourselves to get this thing going?" It's like, whoa. I mean, that was an answer that we weren't expecting. It's like, I thought, boy, you know, this is going to take a little bit of decision-making for them and time to pray about it and whatever. And it's like, we were just blown away as Ryan and Katie and I and Benito were at this meeting. And it was just so good to see the Lord in this whole thing. And so we just told them, take a few weeks and pray about this, and we're going to continue to pray on this end. And, you know, just to see God open up a rehab center that could possibly actually help people. Because there's so many rehab centers out there that people enter and they kind of just put a Band-Aid on the problem, because without Christ, you really can't do justice. And so we want something that's going to be so different that they're going to see Christ. Because Christ is the answer. Christ is the only source that can help any of us in any situation, including drugs. And so please be praying with us as we continue to think about this. And just again, that this is God's thing. It's not ours. And we want God to be 100% involved in this work. And so it's exciting to see what God is doing. And it's interesting, too. I had one of our pastors from El Choyudo, Guillermo. He called me up yesterday, and he said he was coming into Guaymas. And so, yeah, he always likes to come and visit us over here. And so I asked him just point blankly, "Guillermo, how's your generator doing?" And I know a couple of years ago, somebody donated a generator for the use over there of doing evangelism. And he said, "Well, you know, I still have this generator, but it's really too small for me. And there's a church in Carabó that have been asking if they could buy it or use it for a time." And it's like, he just didn't know what to do. And so anyway, somebody just a couple of weeks ago donated a generator to us for a particular work or for a work. And it's like, you know, I said, "Guillermo, I have a brand new generator here. It hasn't even run 15 minutes. And do you want it?" And I was like, "Wow, I'll be there as soon as I can, you know." It's like, and you know, it's just so cool to see the Lord's work. Because that same day, this particular church in Carabó had asked him for this generator. And he didn't know what to do. And here, we just offered him a generator that same day, yesterday. And you know, that's so cool. That's God. Everything is in His timing. Everything. And we can rely on that. We can enjoy that. And so, yeah, little blessings. In fact, well, they're big blessings, you know. And the thing is, do we notice them? Do we see them? Do we experience them? Wow, what a privilege it is to serve. What a privilege. We're almost coming to an end here with Psalm 23. And Katie was telling me the other day, it's a good thing you're not going through Psalm 119. Yeah, I mean, if it's taken us how many weeks to get through six verses, I mean, imagine 119 verses, or no, 153 or whatever it is. Yeah, it's unbelievable. But this has been fun. It's been a good time to dig in and just pull out stuff that one normally doesn't really think about, you know, and even talking about sheep and just all the different characteristics of sheep. And as we begin in verse 6 today, I'll finish it next week. So we're going to do just a small portion of verse 6 today. Psalm 23, verse 6, and it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." Depends upon what kind of translation you have. "Surely goodness and unfailing love will follow me." And as I studied this passage this morning, or this past week, and thought about this whole issue of surely goodness and mercy or love. I mean, what is it that the author wants to pull out of here? What's the psalmist thinking? What's going through David's mind? As he wrote this particular psalm. And I did write actually quite a few notes this week, and so I'll see. So I might be reading a lot of them because I tend to forget as I'm up here sometimes. So just bear with me as I read some of these things. But throughout the study of this psalm, continuous emphasis has been put upon the care exercised by the attentive shepherd. And as we begin to think of what has happened since verse 1, the amount of care that a shepherd puts on his sheep is actually unbelievable. A good shepherd invests time and time again. It has been stressed how essential to the welfare of the sheep is the shepherd's diligent effort and labor. All the benefits enjoyed by a flock under skilled and loving management have been drawn in bold lines. Now, all of this is summed up here in the psalmist in one brave but simple statement. And I just read it. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." The sheep with such a shepherd knows of the surety that his is a privileged position. No matter what comes, at least and always, the sheep can be perfectly sure that goodness and mercy will be in the picture of their lives. The sheep know that. The sheep reassures himself that he is ever under sound, sympathetic, intelligent ownership. Goodness and mercy will be treatment he receives from his master's loving, expert hands. And as I begin to think about this whole scenario of how the sheep feels so secure with his master, with his shepherd, even though they've gone through all these incredible deep valleys, even though they've gone through so many bad weather, even though there's been predators all around them wanting to devour and destroy, the sheep have confidence in their shepherd. They're not fearing. They're enjoying that special, special relationship with their shepherd. And to turn this around now, I begin thinking, okay, how do we as Christians feel about our good shepherd, our Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ? How many of us are truly, truly concerned that no matter what occurs in our lives, whether it be good or bad, that goodness and mercy will follow us? It's very easy when things are going well for us to say, yeah, surely goodness and mercy are following us, are following me. When we have good health, yeah, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. When financially we're doing great, surely goodness and mercy is following me. My family is very well. They're all encouraged. They're doing good. I have lots of good friends, and they just like to come alongside of me, and we have good fellowship together. Yeah, we feel like everything is just going our way. But what about when our bodies break down? As we've been praying for many of our folks over here. Have you ever been with a loved one dying and suffering with so much pain? Have you been along somebody like that? And is surely goodness and mercy following me in a circumstance like that? Am I feeling that in my heart? Our job might fold, and all of a sudden, we're jobless. We can't pay bills. All of a sudden, our kids are running in and amongst the wrong types of crowds. Are we feeling the goodness of the Lord and all of that? Or our friends prove us false, and they turn against us. Then what? We're all alone. And we need to ask ourselves, where is our confidence in our shepherd? These are the occasions when the chips are down and all of a sudden we begin to think, boy, am I really sincere about what I believe in? Am I really sincere in God and just the fact that he is bringing goodness to me and mercy? Or is he not? Or is it just a void there? Are we not thinking at all about what God really is and who he is to me right now in my circumstances? We have our little worlds, and sometimes when they're falling apart, our little, you call them dream castles, are just falling down around us. And our hope all of a sudden seems to disappear and crumble. And it's, yeah, in times like that where can I honestly say, surely, yes, surely goodness and mercy, God's loving kindness will follow me to the ends of my life. With our limited understanding of who God really is, when I begin to think of how much wisdom that there is in our Lord Jesus Christ, and yet so many times we have tendencies to carry things out on our own. We tend to worry and we tend to have fear. And so many times we like to ask God, why? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? But sometimes we misunderstand who our good shepherd is. We don't understand him. And we don't know him enough because he never changes. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. There is nothing different about him. The thing is, we always change. We're the ones that always bring circumstances into our lives that distraught us and that we get our eyes focused on situations and circumstances. He is always the same. And he wants me. He wants me to love him. Why? Because he first loved me. He first loved me. When we think of these past months going through this psalm, and you begin to see of all the care that the shepherd has given to his sheep, All the different diseases that would come about, he would fix them. He would cure them. He would do everything possible. He would find still waters. He would protect them. All the work that was involved in going up to those plateaus and preparing that table for those sheep. His watchfulness, his alertness, always looking out for predators, always watching out. The skills that he had with his staff and with that rod, and how he could just hurl that rod to scare off enemies, animals. All his concern and all his self-sacrifice love. And the one who loves his sheep loves his work and loves his role as a shepherd. And as I think of our Lord Jesus Christ, our shepherd, he loves us so dearly. He has given his all for us. He is on alert for us 24/7. He wants to protect us. He wants to keep our minds clear of outside influences, as we talked about last week. He doesn't want that contamination to come inside of us and destroy us. He is the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us." For us. He laid it down for us. Just as God's goodness and mercy flow to me all the days of my life, so goodness and mercy should follow me as a legacy to others, whatever and wherever I may go. Do you remember when we talked about the sheep, when they were mismanaged, that they could ruin a field in no time? They will literally eat all the grass in one area until it's totally gone, where nothing will grow back up. They take it right down to the roots. Remember how they make those ruts? They follow the same paths all the time, and they cause great ruts. And when the rains come, it can cause so much erosion that it just falls. And the ground is ruined. They can't do anything about it. They're very destructive. Very destructive. But there's also some very, very good things about sheep. If they are under the right management. In bold contrast, on the other hand, they can be most beneficial of all livestock in the domestic realm. They could be most beneficial. For example, their manure is the best balanced of any domestic animal. It is very, very rich. And sheep, it's interesting, but if they are on the hillsides, they will actually go and rest on the higher areas where it's less productive. And so when they're on the higher areas, there's chance for the stuff in the lowlands to be able to grow and flourish because of their manure that they produce. And so it brings incredible balance to the fields itself as it renourishes itself. And so those are the only types of animals that will actually do that kind of thing, is they will leave and go to higher ground to rest. They also consume more herbage than any other animal. And so they love weeds. And they will eat a majority, most types of weeds. And so that is something very important in fields as well, because you don't have all this contamination growing up. They eat it all up. And as far as cactus go too, or not cactus, but this thistle, they will eat the flowers of this thistle so that it doesn't produce. And so you can have this grass on a regular basis growing up, because the sheep are maintaining, they're under right management to be able to put them in the right spots. In a few years, a shepherd was saying that his flock had cleaned up and restored a piece of ravaged land that no other creature could have done. So it's amazing, the goodness of sheep. Did you know that in the ancient literature, sheep were referred to those of the golden hooves? Now that behooves me big time, how you could think about that. But yeah, they were considered as those of the golden hooves, simply because they were regarded and esteemed so highly for their beneficial effect on the land. So put in all of that on the side now. What brings to mind now our relationship with Christ? What questions come about when we begin thinking about these sheep and how, if they're under mismanagement, they can be so destructive that they can just cause the land to be no good? Contrary to being under good management and how they can produce and perform and that things grow. I sometimes think, what kind of blessing and what kind of benediction do I leave behind when I leave a place? I read a story this week of two traveling people were stopped in at this home. And so they were there for a couple of days, and then they continued on in their travels. And 2 days later, they got a phone call and said, "Hey, did I happen to leave my hat at your place?" One of these guys said. And well, they just combed the house totally and they did not find a hat. So they called back and said, "I'm sorry, but we did not find your hat here. But let me tell you this, you sure left a blessing." And that kind of just really spoke to me, and it's like, wow. Left a blessing. And I begin to think, Howard, the places that I go, the people that I'm in contact with, am I leaving something behind? And if I am leaving something behind, is it good or is it bad? Many people can leave sadness or they can leave gladness behind. Some people can leave pleasure, and some people will leave pain. As I thought of Isaiah 52:7, it says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news." Good news. The good news of peace and salvation. The news that the God of Israel reigns. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves the question, do I leave behind peace in lives or turmoil? Do I leave behind forgiveness or bitterness? Do I leave behind contentment or conflict? Do I leave behind flowers of joy or frustration? Do I leave behind love or anger? The missionary David Livingstone lived in the continent of Africa, and many of you have read about him, his biographies. And here was a man that they still talk about in Africa today after so many years. He left an incredible legacy behind. People talk about him still today. You go into different tribal areas on that continent, and people will know his name. That's amazing. And I sometimes think, man, if we were to move back to our previous neighborhood, what would the neighbors have to say about Howard? Oh, yeah, I remember him, you know? But think about it. What kind of legacy have we left behind? David Livingstone, his passion and tenderness were always apparent. They were always there. They were always there. What about our community church? Are we practicing forgiveness? Are we practicing goodness? There's so many lukewarm institutions out there today, organizations, churches, and people don't always feel super welcome coming in. Why is that? Are we practicing mercy and goodness? Are we practicing the love of God in our lives today, right now? Lukewarm. I hate to drink lukewarm coffee. It either has to be hot or it has to be ice cold. But I hate it lukewarm. I don't like my food lukewarm. I like it hot. Or I can eat it cold. But lukewarm just does not do anything for me. And I sometimes think, how is our life with Jesus Christ? Is it lukewarm? Is it hot? Or are we just cold to the things of the Lord completely? It's easy to spot a lukewarm Christian. It's pretty easy to do that. And the thing is, we don't want to be lukewarm. We just don't want to be. We want to enjoy our Savior, our God, our Good Shepherd. It's easy to find somebody that's walking with the Lord because you experience goodness and mercy in their lives. You experience God. You experience that warm, warm affection. It's very easy to see. Something else that I pulled out of here this past week as well is God has done all these things for us. And sometimes we think, does God want to receive a blessing from us? He is the one that is always blessing us, is he not? But don't you think that he wants to receive a blessing from us? When you begin to think of a shepherd with his sheep, it is so comforting to a shepherd to see his sheep flourishing. It's very comforting when he sees the young growing up to be strong. When he sees his sheep being able to eat nice green grass because of all the fruit of the labor that the shepherd has put into those fields. He has worked like crazy. And then all of a sudden, wow, he can look at his fruit and say, yes, my sheep are enjoying life. I have given to them everything that they could possibly want and have to enjoy this comfort, this protection. The shepherd looks for satisfaction in his sheep, and he finds it. And the same it is, I believe, as God looks down at us. We are told that he looked upon our travail of his own soul and was satisfied. Our Lord Jesus Christ wants to be satisfied in us. He wants to be satisfied. He wants to see us being fulfilled, enjoying the joy of the Lord. He looks at my life in tenderness, for he loves me deeply. And he sees the long years during which his goodness and mercy have followed me, Howard, without slacking. And he longs to see some measure of that same goodness and mercy not only passed on to others, but to see us with joy in our lives, enjoying him. He longs for love. He longs for love, my love, Are we giving it to him? Are we giving it to him? I love him only because he first loved me. Then he is satisfied, and then we are satisfied. Praise the Lord. Let's close. Father God, we don't understand your love for us, but thank you for it. And Father, if we could even just give back some of it to you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for using the psalmist in writing this psalm for us, for our benefit, to learn from your creation, sheep, and just all the principles that one can learn from your creation. Thank you for the Spirit of God. And Father, I pray that, yeah, we would enjoy your comfort that only you can give to us, our good shepherd. Thank you for this time, in Jesus' name.